Good morning, everyone. God is good all the time. Today I want to talk about created for good works. Just carrying on in terms of what we've already been saying over the last few weeks. I just felt that when I was praying, I believe today God wants to manifest himself as a father. God wants to speak to us today as a father that wants to affirm our identity and wants to release us into destiny. And so when you hear the voice of God today, I believe you're going to hear the voice of a father speaking to you deeply. When Bob Benson started, he had this picture of this ship, this cruise ship, a few weeks ago. And the thing that came to me was that a ship is not built for the harbor. A ship is built for the sea. And so even the way that God has built us, it's for good works. And so it's almost impossible, I would say impossible, to spend quality time with Jesus and to be inwardly focused. I think that's almost impossible, because when you're spending quality time with Jesus, you'll be looking outward and you'll say, God, what can I do for the world out there with so many needs? And so the way that I read the Bible is that, and then you're going to see how I'm going to do it, that the reading of God's word is the starting point for a conversation with God. And so when I try to read the Bible, I try to engage in conversation with God. God, what do you mean by this? What are you saying through this verse? And so the first verse that we go into is Psalms 139, verse 14. As we look at how God built us for good works. Psalm 139, verse 14. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. This was the verse that delivered me from insignificance, from living an insignificant life. It's totally set me free when God opened my eyes to see this verse. He says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David looks at himself and he praises God. He didn't look at himself and praise himself. Neither did he didn't say, I thank you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, I praise you. I'm not really good with English sometimes, but I believe that praise is stronger than thanks. He didn't say, I thank you, God. He said, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When last did you praise God for the way he made you? When last did you praise God for the way he made you? Because we praise God when we have a miracle. We praise God for an answered prayer. We praise God for so many different things. But when last did you praise God for the way he made us? Can I say this in another way? I'm going to say the same question, but in a different way. Does the way that you look at yourself cause you to praise God? Does the way you look at yourself cause you to praise God? What does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made? This is what it means. The way we were made goes beyond human intelligence and human ability. God is not glorified for that which is humanly possible. You are the brightest and clearest picture of God's creativity. Beyond everything that was made, you are the brightest and clearest picture of God's creativity. The way that you were made goes beyond any form of human intelligence and human ability. Now, many of us, we have work. And sometimes there are works that we do, that we do it every day. So it's not like we're concentrating or we're applying our mind to it. And so sometimes you would just not do it, but you wouldn't actually think about it because it's like unconscious. What does it mean that when it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? And I was having a conversation with God about this verse. And I said, what does it mean, Lord? And God said, I applied my mind to every person I created. God applied his mind to every single person that he created. Imagine the infinite wisdom, the infinite wisdom of God, the infinite knowledge of God applying his mind to create you. You are not randomly created to fit anywhere. There's a supernatural element to the way God created you, and that is to be reflected in our good works. He knew exactly what to put into you so that you could be a blessing to the world. You were born at the exact moment in time when your gifts would be needed the most. This is the wisdom of God. This is the brilliance of God in action. You are not a blank piece of paper that someone writes on. God has already written your entire script and is waiting, and it's waiting to be discovered by you. David said, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David had worthy thoughts about God, but he also had worthy thoughts about himself, which both led him to praise God. We can have unworthy thoughts about ourselves, which dishonors God. And shortly I'm going to share my testimony with you. We shouldn't have thoughts about ourselves that leads to pride. We should have thoughts about ourselves that lead to praise of God. Being fearfully and wonderfully made should have a humbling effect upon us, not a state of pride. A few years ago, I completed my studies, was ready for the world. So I went and I submitted my CVs to get a job because I had finished my studies. And so I went to some companies. They said to me, you know what, you've got this great CV, but we don't have a job for you. And so for 10 months, doors were closing. It was such a shameful experience that I had to go back home and go back to live with my parents. I thought, and then I looked back at my family history, maybe my grandfather's father was cursed. I researched everything. I said, God, why was all these doors closed? I went to search everyone. I said, God, something is wrong here. 10 months, sending out my CVs, people are saying, you've got a great CV, nothing's happening. I said, God, what is wrong? I almost went into depression, where I didn't want to even wake up in the morning. So the one day, it was in the beginning of November. There was one day, I remember to this day, I didn't want to wake up that day. And I said, God, I need you to help me. I don't know what's happening with me. Doors are closing. Nothing's going right in my life. I've gone back to my parents, everything. So by the supernatural power of God, I managed to get up that day in this atmosphere of darkness. And I said, God, I'm going to try one more time. So I'm walking up and down my room. And suddenly in the middle of that prayer, God stops my prayer meeting. And he says, now I'm ready to talk to you. And this is what he said. And this is what I believe can set someone free. God spoke to me about having unworthy thoughts about myself. He said to me, and I'm going to explain what he meant by that. He said, Julian, you can pray for others, but you can't pray for yourself. It's so easy for you to pray for other people, but it's difficult for you to pray for yourself. You can actually expect my goodness to be upon other people, but you can't expect your goodness to come to you. You can't expect my goodness to come to you. He said, I literally cursed myself by having unworthy thoughts about myself that did not honor God. He says, Julian, I want you to repent. I want you to stop thinking about the way that you're thinking about yourself. And he didn't say anything else. He just said, repent and stop. Because how you are thinking about yourself is not honoring me. Do you know, I still experience that day as it is, as I'm standing here, I'm still experiencing that moment when the light came on and the darkness left. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. But I could feel the atmosphere change in my room. And guess what happened? On the same day, a few hours later, I got a phone call. You've got a job. The very day I repented of having unworthy thoughts about myself that dishonored God, a few hours later, I got a job. Didn't even have to go to an interview. They just said, you can start next week. It wasn't a coincidence that the day I repented, I got the job. Something lifted in the atmosphere. And I want to say to someone that, you know what, unworthy thoughts about yourself can actually delay your progress to destiny. And as we come to the end of this talk, I would love to have the privilege of praying with you. If God is speaking to you about any unworthy thoughts that you may have about yourself that dishonors God, I believe today is your day to be set free. Because God does not want you to be delayed to destiny. And so I felt like when I was praying about this, I needed to share my testimony with you. So let's go on. Within the process of being fearfully and wonderfully made, God created us for good works to bless humanity and to establish his kingdom on earth. Can we go to Exodus 31, verse 1 to 5? I just want to share something about this verse from verse 1 to 5, Exodus 31. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft. Okay, let's stop there. The first person to be filled with the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, was not a priest or a prophet. It was the man who built the tabernacle. Isn't that interesting? That the first person recorded to be filled with the Holy Spirit was not a priest or a prophet. It was this man. This man never preached a sermon. He never led worship, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon him to build the tabernacle. What is God saying to us? Why would God intentionally tell us that the first man filled with the Spirit was not a priest or a prophet? What is God saying to us? You are not filled with the Holy Spirit for yourself or your own benefit. This man's abilities benefited an entire nation so that they could worship God when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you look at Acts chapter 6, something similar happens there, where it talks about where the apostles wanted to get people to attend to the widows in Acts 6. What was the qualification for service? Acts chapter 6, let's go from verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good report." Here we go again. "Full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." If you look at this verse and if you connect it with Exodus 31, the qualification was that they would be full of the Spirit. Now the question becomes, why must we be full of the Spirit? So I asked God the question, why must I be full of the Spirit? And he says, because when you're full of the Spirit, you carry God's heart. It's as if God is doing the work in the way that God wants it done. So when Bezalel was building this tabernacle, the tabernacle looked exactly the way God wanted it to look, because he carried God's Spirit. And when we carry God's Spirit, we carry God's heart. Jesus Christ, Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. Again, the Holy Spirit is not for us or for our benefit. I'll just read it. We don't have to go there. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, not for me to feel good about myself. He says there's a definite, whenever the Spirit of God comes upon me, there's a definite purpose. There's a definite assignment. And God says, the reason why is because we must carry God's heart so that we can do his works. Every time, whenever the Spirit of God comes upon someone, there's a definite purpose for that happening. So I asked myself, Lord, how should we think then about ourselves? If we have this man that's got this ability, but is benefiting an entire nation. And so I always love to see when I'm coming to Grace Gen, when it's sunny and it's this cold morning, like we try to face the sun so that we can get some heat and some light. And I was just thinking about this, and I thought to myself, maybe we ought to be like the sun. The sun is giving off heat. The sun is giving off light. But does the sun ever say to you, "Hey, it's payback time. I've given off so much heat, I've given off so much light, now you must pay me back"? The sun just delights in being that which it is, because it was created by God to do that. And so maybe we should think about ourselves like the sun, giving off the power of God, giving off the love of God, wherever we go, being like the sun. And not saying, you know what, I'm expecting something back from you, but we're just giving off all the time because God is filling us, we're releasing. He's filling us, we're releasing. And so I was trying to figure out like what example, and I thought maybe the sun would be a good example of how we are called to be. Giving off heat, giving off light, giving off all these things. One of the big questions I want to ask today, because the Holy Spirit came upon this man to build. The Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus to preach the good news. The Holy Spirit comes upon these disciples to attend to the widows. The one question that I want to ask you or ask ourselves today is, how does the Holy Spirit uniquely express himself through you? Now, I'm sure there are millions and billions of ways that he can uniquely express himself through people. He didn't express himself the same way through Bezalel as he did through the disciples. And so you find out that there's a unique way in which the Holy Spirit operates in your life because of how he fearfully and wonderfully made you. And so that is one of the starting points in which you can have a conversation with God. You say, God, how have you uniquely made me so that I can, so the Holy Spirit uniquely expresses himself through me. I was thinking about even this random example yesterday. Like sometimes maybe you love kids. And so the Holy Spirit comes upon you for children's parties, for example. Something creative. And so there are, like I'm saying, there's millions and billions of ways in which the Holy Spirit can express himself through you. But there's a specific way in which he does it through you. How can we do good works that glorify God without the Holy Spirit? We can't. Acts 10:38. One of my favorite verses. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now here we have an interesting connection. It says with the Holy Spirit and power, and then it says he went about doing good. So the doing good was connected with the Holy Spirit and power. Again, we cannot go away from the Holy Spirit. What does God consider good? In the context of this verse, whenever you bring someone out of bondage into his glorious freedom, that is what God considers good. God's goodness loves to set people free. God's love doesn't love to see people in bondage. And so he went about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed. But every act was connected to the Holy Spirit and power. We need to use the power of God within us to do good. We can use the power for many things, but when we look at this context, how Jesus used power, he used it to do good and to bring people into his glorious freedom. Amen. Matthew 5:16, let your good works be seen before men that they would glorify God. How can I do good works that glorify God, again, without the Holy Spirit? Because many out there in the world are doing good works anyway. And I don't think, I want to be vulnerable by saying this, but I don't think even think I've done a good work that has gone past myself. That people would say, you've done this and I glorify God. I'm still pressing to say, God, please let me go beyond myself so that people can glorify God through what I'm doing. And that is totally impossible, once again, without the Holy Spirit. My last verse for today is created for good works, Ephesians 2:10. One verse that we know quite familiar with. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Workmanship, what does that mean? You are specifically designed to do specific things that are a blessing to people. We honor God by honoring his design on our lives. We do not want to compare our design with someone else. We honor God by honoring his design on us. Workmanship means that you are a finished product. God is not going to change the design upon your life. Your design was created from eternity. He's not going to change it. But God's workmanship reveals his wisdom through you. Good works, and then we talk about workmanship, and he says we created for good works. I want to say that good works in this passage refers to the specific good works, which is connected to workmanship, God's workmanship of your life. Workmanship is the reason why you enjoy doing certain things and why you hate doing certain things. That is workmanship. If everyone was interested in the same thing, we would have major problems in the world. Imagine if everyone in this room wanted to be a maths teacher. Imagine if we were all interested in the same thing. It would never work. One of the ways that we can practically develop a culture of honor is to celebrate each other's interests, not just the achievements. Because we can celebrate achievements from a distance, but we can only celebrate interests in the context of relationship. My wife gave me that point. We have to be close enough to people to know what they are interested in. But I can stand up here and tell you about all of my achievements, but I'm standing afar from a distance from you. But I've got to get close enough to you to know what you're interested in and to celebrate those interests. And I think that's one of the ways in which we can cultivate a culture of honor in the church. Workmanship describes both your potential and your limitations. A ship cannot fly, except in the movies. The way that a ship has been designed cannot fly. It can only go on water. And the design prevents it from doing so. The limitations and potential are all part of God's infinite wisdom. At school, I hated art and woodwork. They asked me to draw this Coke bottle in front of me. And they said, just draw the Coke bottle and that's your test. And that was supposed to be easy. And I failed. I think I got about 25%. I just couldn't do art in school and woodwork. And so if you call me a bad artist, I won't be offended because I was never intended to be one. So general works and specific good works. General good works are those which anyone can do. It doesn't need a specific person to do it. We must do general good works as well. As I'm talking about specific good works, there is times when we must do general good works. You cannot say, I'm not gifted to sweep the floor. Or wash the dishes, I'm not gifted. You can't say that. There is a space for general and specific. So I'm saying that as a general rule of thumb, I would say if you are doing 70 to 80% specific good works, and about 20% general, I think you're in a good place. We need to be wise in the way we use our time and energy. And the reason why I'm specifically saying about specific good works is because of the matter of stewardship. We must be good stewards of our gifts and not waste them. But whether we are doing good works or specific, our attitude should be the same. It must be the same. But it's only when we operate beyond our human ability and intelligence that God can be glorified. And so how do we begin to apply this to our own lives? Number one, you can pay attention to what interests you. Because it's not by chance that you're interested in certain things. Honor those interests. Honor God by honoring those interests in your life. The secret is joy, but beyond that, I don't have a formula for this. I don't think Christianity is a formula. The secret is joyfully hearing from God concerning your specific workmanship. Asking God, say, God, what is your workmanship over my life and how do I honor that workmanship? Ask God in faith and expect Him to answer you. That's a very important key because sometimes we ask God and then we run away without Him even responding. Ask God and then expect Him to answer you. And then as well, as we talked about in verses, in Psalms 139, repent and break free from unworthy thoughts about yourself, which dishonors God. Remember, there are thoughts about yourself that lead to pride, and there's thoughts about yourself that leads to praise. Last night when I was praying, God was saying to me that I'm just when I was in prayer with the Lord yesterday, He says that there may be some people today that their creativity has been suppressed or stifled for some reason. And the Lord was saying to me that in this church, there's an amazing base of creativity of people in this place. And He says that the creativity that has once been suppressed and stifled will suddenly be released in this church. I saw creativity in business. I saw creativity in the arts. I saw creativity in how we do worship and praise. And God says, I'm about to unleash, because as we are creative, we are reflecting our Creator, who is infinitely creative. And I sense it is a huge base and a huge sense of a release of creativity on this house. Because when we are creative, we are like God. And so, as well as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and just before we pray, I'm closing my Bible, we're done. The Lord said to me, there's someone here in line with workmanship. You love to arrange flowers, specifically flowers. And He was saying to me that you're going to be used in sort of like the wedding planning business. God wants you to bring glory to Him in the wedding planning business. And I just saw flowers and arranging of flowers, beautiful. And God was creatively using you in this space. And also as well, someone that creates through plastic bottles, materials. You love to create stuff. And I believe God was saying to me that you're actually going to be, you're going to have an initiative where you're going to actually create jobs as well. Because you've got this amazing use of your hands. God has given you this. When you see plastic, you see masterpiece. And so, and for these two people, I also thought that God was saying to me that you don't actually think it's a serious gift. You just do it on the side. But you don't actually think like, God, can you actually use this gift? But actually God wants to honor that today. He wants to celebrate that today as we pray in the spirit. As they've come, but those that want to break free from unworthy thoughts about themselves, I would love to pray with you and the leaders as well. And also those that say, God, show me what my workmanship in my life. Show me who I am. Come and have an engagement with God, a conversation with God today. Thank you so much.